John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, that is, the Pharisees had heard, when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. This does not seem a very important passage, but we do learn that Jesus placed an importance upon baptism which we need to come to terms with. Although he himself did not baptize, literally, nevertheless, connected with his ministry was this ordinance of baptism. We also learn that at this time, Jesus is gaining, growing in popularity, and John the Baptist is waning. This is nothing to be wondered at or afraid of. Verse 30 of chapter 3, John had said, Christ must become greater, he must increase. I must become less. His ministry was over. It was coming to an end. His was an introductory ministry. And it was his time, God-appointed time, was over. It's like the Old Covenant. God appointed the Old Covenant, established the Old Covenant as a temporary covenant until the coming of the seed, Galatians chapter 3. With the coming of the Christ, the Old Covenant ceased. And that's what's happening here. Jesus is gaining. John is losing ground. The time of the Old Covenant was nearly over. Jesus is rising in popularity, at least at this time. And soon he will establish his new covenant. But the main point here is that the Pharisees heard this. And connected with the Pharisees' hearing of the popularity of Christ, when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea. We're not told, it's not explicitly stated, but to my mind it's certainly implied that because of the risk of persecution, opposition, hindrance, or whatever it was, not that Jesus was afraid of it, but because the Pharisees had heard, and there was going to be some marring of the work or interfering with it, or for whatever reason, but connected with the Pharisees, hearing that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. I don't want to make too much of this, but I don't want to make too little of it either. This is Christ's earthly ministry. If he's in Judea, he cannot be in Galilee. If he's in Galilee, he's certainly not in Judea. He can only be in one place at any one time. In this day now, in our time, by his Spirit, Christ can be here. I'm speaking in the United Kingdom. He can be with you listening in Australia or Japan or America, wherever it might be. So, in a literal sense, the point that's being made here, that Jesus leaving Judea and going to Galilee, in the literal sense, in the spiritual sense, it doesn't apply. And yet, in the spiritual sense, it does. Let me make myself clear. What I want to say from this short paragraph is this. I want to issue everyone who's listening to me, and to myself, I want to issue a warning. And it's this. In past times in my country, God has so blessed the preaching of the gospel. He's so attended it with power. He's been so present in that preaching, and in the people listening, that people have been converted, sinners have been converted in their droves. But today, Although we have flourishing churches, God only knows. But many are complaining that they see few conversions. And I think that is the genuine understanding of these times. The preaching is relatively powerless. Now, there may be many reasons for it. But I do believe that God can be present in the preaching. And God can be absent from the preaching, in power. What I'm saying is, as Jesus left Judea and went to Galilee, the people in Judea no longer heard and saw him. The people in Galilee would, but not the people in Judea at this time. And I'm reminded of a text in Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Whether I'm right or wrong about my views, in my views about the past and the present and the preaching and so on, this I will say. And I say by way of warning to us all, if you have not yet come to Christ in saving faith, if you have not believed, remember in chapter 3? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Condemnation for those who do not believe. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Perhaps you were listening to me in those discourses. Perhaps you said, well, I'll think about it. I'm interested. I'm curious. Maybe next time. I say by way of this passage, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, how do you know there'll be a next time? Take my discourses. I'll listen to your next discourse. How do you know that this won't be the last? How do I know? Even if I do preach it, how do you know you'll be able to hear it? And say, I can preach again, and you can hear again. Who can say whether God will be in it in power? What I would say, if Christ is speaking to you now, if he has spoken to you, close with him, believe in him, trust him, rely upon him now. Now is the day. Now is the time. Now is the hour. Now is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found, Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Jesus left Judea and went to Galilee. Do not trade upon time and opportunity in the future. Close with Christ now. That is my warning from this passage. Learn from it. If Jesus is calling you, if you heard his voice, then trust him now. Not later in the day. Now. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Now.